So we are at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis 7b. Last time round, we noted that Sheva Brachos are supposed to start under the Chuppah, but we had the view of Rav Yehuda, who said that actually we start doing Sheva Brachos at Kiddushin, and we said that was because in the land of Yehuda, in Judea, they would isolate the couple together, they would seclude the couple together already at Kiddushin. So we talked about why they did it, two different views, fine. But that led the Gemara to talk about a bracha that everybody says at Kiddushin. And Erison are the same thing, I want to avoid confusion. And that is the bracha that we are familiar with as well, Asher Asalanu Esa'arusos, and so on. So at the end last time, I gave a couple of notes on this bracha. First of all, I noted the debate as to whether this is what we call a birkas hamitzvah, a bracha on the mitzvah of Kiddushin, if in fact Kiddushin is a mitzvah, or whether it's birkas shevach v'hodah, praise and thanks to God on the joy of the occasion. I also noted the odd business in the language that God prohibited arusot for us and permitted nisuot for us, which made it sound like all are permitted, all married women are permitted, and I gave you different approaches in the language that are brought to try to explain or deal with that. I wanted to note two other aspects of the language of that bracha. So I'm going to share the screen with the Gemara again, so we can point out the issue. So we're at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. And specifically, what I want to point out is the end of the bracha, the last two words of the bracha. We say, Hashem permitted nisuot to us. Is it sharing the screen? Can people see the Gemara? Yeah, this is doing strange things. It's freezing. Well, as long as it has the connection still, everything else will work itself out, I think. But in any case, I'll tell it to you, and then hopefully my computer will catch up. The last two words of the bracha are chuppah v'kiddushin, that Hashem permitted married women to us via.
We lost his sound.
Uh oh.
We lost
half a minute.
Maybe you can just.
Hang on. It's all good. It's all good. My computer is just catching up. You with me?
Yep.
Okay, now I just, at the same time, I got people in the waiting room, so I have to figure out, yeah, I can let them in while this is still sharing. Okay, we're all good. Today has not been the easiest Zoom day. In any case, can you see now on the screen, you see the Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the last of the thin lines, we say that Hashem permitted the women who are nisuot al yedei chupa v'kiddushin, via chupa and kiddushin. So you tell me, what's odd about those words?
It's the chupa, it's the chupa, the kiddushin, the one kiddushin is arusos anyway, to begin with.
Yeah.
They're backwards. They're not in the right order.
Right, they're out of order. That's not the right order. The order is supposed to be you do Kiddushin first. Right. It's Kiddushin first.
Kiddushin comes before Chuppah.
Correct. So this is the objection. Why is it that we have Chuppah v'Kiddushin? If anything, it should be Kiddushin v'Chuppah. Now, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Ellman, many, many years ago when I was at YU, pointed out that when you have a list in Tanakh, as a general rule, you go up in the number of syllables. So in other words, as you go further along in the list, the last item in the list will have the most syllables. And it's true that it's certainly euphonic. It sounds better to say chuppah v'kiddushin than kiddushin v'chuppah. I don't think it's just because we're used to saying chuppah v'kiddushin. I think it does really sound better. But that's not the answer that the Rishonim give to explain the order. Instead, I'll give you four different approaches to try to explain the order such as it is. And I brought them on the source sheet, but I'm not going to share the source sheet now with you. I don't want to push my luck with this poor computer today. It's been through the ringer. So those who are on the medical sheet this morning know what I'm talking about. But the answers that I have are these. Rav Hai Gaon is brought in the Shita Mekubetzes to offer two answers. He says it could be because we're making the bracha at Kiddushin, right? That's when you make the bracha. So we're saying, Ayidei Chupa v'Kiddushin. We want to end with what we're doing right now, which is Kiddushin. That's his first answer. His second answer that he offers is, we actually put Chupa first because we want to emphasize Chupa, since that's the one that'll actually complete the marriage. So either it's that you want to end with Kiddushin because it's what we're doing now, put Chuppah first to emphasize the importance of Chuppah. Those are two answers. The Ritva offers two other answers. First answer that he gives is that we're breaking up the sentence wrong. The way to break up the sentence is, God permitted the women who are married via Chuppah if we first did Kiddushin. Hitir lanu es hanesuos lanu al yidei chuppa v'kiddushin. Which is an interesting answer. But my favorite answer is the second answer of the Ritva. And the second answer of the Ritva is, this is a case in which pronunciation has dictated spelling. When I say to you, al yidei chuppa v'kiddushin, you all know, you have the text in front of you, V'kiddushin starts with a vav. Chuppah and Kiddushin. But how else could it be read? V'kiddushin, right? It's a vet. Chuppah v'kiddushin, right? There's no dagesh in the bet. There's no dot in the bet because it comes after the word chuppah, which ends with that sound. Therefore, there's no dot. Therefore, it's said as v'kiddushin. But really, it's v'kiddushin. That you're doing chuppah with Kiddushin, or in Kiddushin, meaning you first needed Kiddushin that enabled Chuppah. So the Ritva suggests we're doing the bracha wrong. It's really al yidei chuppah v'kiddushin with a vet, but since you can't tell the difference, unless you're, you know, Yemenite or Sirius Sephardi, perhaps, you can't tell the difference, right? If you're serious about your pronunciation, you would do with a vav, you would do w'kiddushin. But we're not doing that. And so he says that's why it ended up being v'kiddushin with a vav. That's a very interesting idea, but that's his suggestion. Last note: the bracha ends as we saw in the Gemara that Hashem sanctifies His nation al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. So how is it that sanctifies Hashem's nation, right? Mekadesh amo Yisrael al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. How does it do that? So the Ritva notes that some actually leave out the last words. They just say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael. And that's it. However, the Maharsha has a beautiful idea. The Maharsha says, Chuppah and Kiddushin, in the context of what's going on when you make the bracha, refers to what the Chasan and Kala do. However, in the history of the Jewish people, the presentation of the Torah is Kiddushin, and the building of the Mishkan is Chuppah. So he says, when we make the bracha, what we're saying is that, number one, this Chasan and Kala have Chuppah and Kiddushin, but also Hashem sanctified the Jewish people with His version of Chuppah and Kiddushin, which was the giving of the Torah at Sinai and the building of the Mishkan. I thought that was a nice, beautiful idea. Okay. So, having said that, I'm going to go back now into the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to come back to Sheva Brachos. This is really, for those who worked their way through the issue of having initial relations on Friday night and some of the other challenging discussions that we had in the Gemara, this is your reward. This flows easily, nice divrei Torah, and soon enough it will be over and we'll be back to the more challenging, items. Nonetheless, this is where we are right now. One line up from the bottom, Zayin Amud Beis, 7b. Tanu Rabbanan. Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. you make Sheva Brachos with a minyan all 7 days, right? We know that. We already learned that. But now the Gemara is going to go further with it. First of all, Amar Rav Yehuda, Vehu Sheba'u Panim Chadashos. Rav Yehuda says, this is only if you have Panim Chadashos, new faces, people who were not there to celebrate with them previously. The Gemara is going to come back to that later on, so I don't want to spend time on that right now. The Gemara is going to come back to Panim Chadashos, and then we'll discuss it in greater depth. That's coming. But my mivarech, what are the brachos that we say? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, I am going to give you the list of the brachos. Note that he's not going to discuss Bari Pri HaGafen, because Bari Pri HaGafen is a tag-along with the other brachos. So he's not going to mention Bari Pri HaGafen. He says, although I will note something, just because I see people make a mistake with this at weddings from time to time, and it seems like it's a mistake. You'll see sometimes that people will go up to make a bracha under the chuppah, and they'll say mazel tov to the chassan and the kala, or even start a conversation. Or you'll have, it's a widespread practice in Israel, and I've seen it in Toronto, where they'll play music in between each bracha, and then the chatzin and the kala start singing. The problem is that the first of the seven brachos we say under the chuppah is Bari Pri HaGafen. That's their bracha on the wine that they are going to drink after the seven, which means they can't interrupt in between. They can answer amen to the other sheva brachos, but they're not supposed to be having a conversation with anybody from the time they've answered the Bari Pri HaGafen until they get the opportunity to drink the wine. So when you get a chance to say a bracha under the chuppah, leave the chasen and kala alone. They don't start a conversation. Okay. Going back into the Gemara now. Let's see our list of the seven, and we're going to read through it with Rashi. Rashi adds a lot of interesting value here to it. So, my mevarich, what's your bracha? Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and then over on to the next side.
Rabbi, can I
yes.
just ask a quick question about where, the
We're right in the middle of a bracha, Rav Simi.
Oh, sorry, okay, I don't
want to
speak out.
So, Sha'akol Bara Lichvodo, that Hashem created everything in His glory. Yes, Rosemi.
So, I just want to understand what we just said about Bari Pri HaGafen.
Yeah.
If I am making, I get called up under the chuppah and I'm making the bracha, my bracha is to be Yotze the Chosn Kalas. I'm not drinking from the wine, right?
Correct. It's a Berakas HaMitzvah for you.
So I don't have to drink. It's good enough just to be one. And that's what, because it's
it's Arevus as a Berachas HaMitzvah for you. That's the idea. You are making the bracha for the Chasen and Kala. I have seen for certain brachos the practice of dripping a little bit of wine on your hands on purpose in order to be able to drink it so that you also had a Bari Pri HaGafen. I've also seen dripping it on your hands by accident, but that's another story. But it's a bracha for them. It's just like if somebody needs Kiddush said Friday night, I am able to be motzi them with Kiddush, even if I was already Yotze Kiddush.
Right, but that's what I was asking, because that only works because I still have the mitzvah of Kiddush, even though I was already Yotze.
Right.
It's not the same
thing. It's not the same kind of Arevus, that is correct. Nonetheless, it still works. Yes, no, you are correct. You're thinking of the classic idea that their responsibility is part of my responsibility because I also have a responsibility for the mitzvah, which is not germane here. Right, that's true.
Okay. Aren't all the mitzvahs, all the brachas for the chosn and kala?
What do you mean?
Well, the same thing as Bari Pri HaGafen.
Well,
all the others are also because of them, or for them.
Right, the difference is that this bracha is really a bracha that we think of as Birkas Hanenin, on enjoyment. And for that, usually we would say, you need to enjoy something too to make the bracha, as opposed to the other ones, which are about the occasion. That would be the difference. So, Sha'akol Bara Lichvodo is a very interesting bracha. If you take a look at Rashi here in the margin, Rashi makes a comment here about the nature of this bracha. He has a lot of comments going down the page, and I wanted to get to the one that's relevant for this. Hang in there. Where did he do this one? If I don't see it quickly, I'll just say it outside.
The previous page.
No. There was something specific on this that I wanted to show. There it is. He says, Sha'kol baralech vodo. You see where I'm pointing with the arrow? He says, Sha'kol baralech vodo, eina min haseder. He says, this bracha is not part of the whole set of brachos. It's really a standalone bracha. Ela la'asifas ha'am hane'esafim sham ligmol chesed. It's a bracha in honor of the group that has assembled there for the sake of the chesed of gladdening the chasen and kala. Zecher l'chazdei ha'makom, shenagim adam harishon, shenase lo shushvin v'nis'aseik bo. Then you are recalling that Hashem did what they are doing now. Hashem did that for Adam and Chava. Va'asifa zu kavod hamakomi. So this gathering is called a gathering which honors Hashem because it calls to mind what Hashem did. Ubracha zu lakach nitkena. That's why this bracha is here. And therefore he says, umisha'as asifa hiru'uyu levarech. This bracha really could have been made when everybody came into the room. It didn't need to be made under the chuppah. However, elami kevan sheish bracha al hakos his kiku lasadra alav. He says, since you have a bracha on wine, so he put this other bracha with it as well. Just like he points out, when you deal with Havdalah, we make bari ma'orei ha'esh, and we make bari minei b'samim with the bracha on the wine, even though really they're not about the wine. They're just Saturday night brachos. So in other words, just to stop sharing so I can see people and make sure that this is coming across clearly, what Rashi is trying to say is that the bracha of Sha'kol Baralich Vodo is a bracha on seeing people gathered to celebrate a wedding. That's what it is. It's not about the wedding. It's about the people who are gathered there to celebrate the wedding. We put it together with the others because once there's a bracha on wine, it has a certain gravity. And it sort of grabs all the other ones and draws them in, just like for Havdalah, we make all those brachas with the cup of wine, even though the one on the besamim, the one on the fire, don't really need to be with the wine, right? A person who, at the end of Shabbos, doesn't have besamim, or doesn't have a fire, so they make Havdalah without it, and then when they can get besamim, they can get a fire, then they make the bracha on that. That's what they do. They're not inherently part of Havdalah, and this is not inherently part of the wedding. The reason why this is important, why Rashi stresses this, is not just because it's a nice Dvar Torah explaining the nature of this bracha, but also because Rashi is bothered by something. Specifically, the first bracha of the Sheva Brachos that we list here is Brachat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sha'kol Bara Lichvodo. And then the second bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer HaAdam. And Rashi is bothered. The second bracha shouldn't start Baruch Ata Hashem. That shouldn't be there. Why? Because we have a principle that Gemara and Brachos teaches us of Bracha Hasmucha L'Chaverta. If I have two blessings to be said in sequence, the first one gets Baruch Ata Hashem, and the second one doesn't start Baruch Ata Hashem. Think about Birkat HaMazon, right? The first bracha starts Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazan, but the second bracha starts with what?
Noda.
It doesn't start Baruch Ata Hashem. And then the third bracha starts with what? Rachem. It doesn't start Baruch Ata Hashem. Why? Because it's adjacent to the preceding brachos. They don't need a new Baruch Ata Hashem. The only one in benching that gets a Baruch Ata Hashem is the fourth one, and that's because that was a separate rabbinic enactment, separate from the first three. So, Rashi is bothered. Why is the second bracha here starting Baruch Ata Hashem? And his answer is because the first bracha really didn't belong in the set. The first bracha is really a separate bracha that we happen to merge with the other ones. Are we clear? You follow? Okay. Let's go back into the Gemara. So that was the opening one, Shakal Bara Lechvodo. The second one is V'yotzer Ha'adam. Yotzer Ha'adam, that Hashem created Adam. And Rashi says on this, we are thanking Hashem for creating Adam. Why are we doing that? Because shortly we're going to have a separate bracha about creating Chava. So therefore, we have a bracha about creating Adam as well. There's going to be more about that in the Gemara a little bit down the page. Okay. So that's the bracha about creating Adam. And then the third one, Va'asher yatzares ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem demus tavniso, that Hashem created man in the image that Hashem designated, b'tzalem demus tavniso, the image that Hashem created for his form, v'hiskin lo mimenu binyan adei ad, and Hashem prepared from Adam an eternal construction, which is Chava. Brochat Hashem yotzer ha'adam. So we bless Hashem for creating Adam. So as far as Rashi is concerned, in Rashi's read of the Gemara, the previous one was about Adam, and this one is about the female, and now it's about the couple as a whole. That's the way that Rashi reads it. Tosfos has a different explanation for the Baruchat Hashem issues here. Tosfo says, I don't think you're right about the way the set works. He says, it's a lot simpler to understand why the second and third bracha don't start with Baruch HaTashem. He says, if you started your opening bracha, Shakar Baruch Vado, with Baruch HaTashem, and you ended, Shakar Baruch Vado, then the second person would get up there, he would just say the two words, Yotzer HaAdam, and that wouldn't look like a bracha at all. Tosfos says you need a bracha to Hashem, or people won't know that he made a bracha at all. That's the way Tosfos approaches it. And he says Asher Yatzar needs one so that people won't think that it's part of this Yotzer Ha'adam. So that's the way Tosfos reads it. But either way, those are your opening three brachos. Then you get Sos Tasis is bracha number four in our set. It's really number five because of Bar Pirah Gafen, but it's number four here. Sos Tasis V'Sagel Ha'akara. The Akara, the one who did not have children, the one who could not give birth, should celebrate. B'kibbutz Baneh L'Socha B'Simcha, when her children are gathered to her with joy. Baruch Ata Hashem Misameach Tzion B'Vaneha. Hashem gladdens Tzion with her children. So when it says, Sos Tasis V'Sagel Ha'akara, who is the Akara? Who is the Akara who should rejoice?
Yerushalayim,
correct. The one whose children will be gathered to her. And Rashi notes at the top of the page, Sos Tasis, Lefisha Anutzrichim Lahalo Zichron Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchasenu, because we have to elevate Yerushalayim to the top of our joy, we have a bracha under the chuppah that's about Yerushalayim. Then you have Sameach, back in the Gemara, the sixth line, Sameach tesamach reim ha'ahuvim kesamechacha yitzircha began eden mikedem. So we now have for Sameach tesamach, it's a bracha for, as Rashi puts it, the success of the chasan and kala. So what we say is Sameach tesamach reim ha'ahuvim, the friends who are beloved to each other, the chasan and kala. We ask Hashem to gladden them. Kesamechacha yitzircha began Eden mikedem, just like you gladdened Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, Baruch Ata Hashem misameach chasan v'chala. And so we say, Hashem, you gladden the chasan and the kala. Baruch Ata Hashem, and then the last one. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, I'm just scrolling down. Asher bara sason v'simcha chasan v'kala gila rina ditza v'chedva, Ava v'achva v'shalom v'reyus. Hashem created joy, Hashem created the chasen and kala, Hashem creates all manner of celebration and love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. Me'ira Hashem Elokeinu yishama be'ere Yehuda v'chuzas Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha kol chasan v'kol kala. Soon, quickly, speedily, may it be heard in the cities of Yehuda, the streets of Yerushalayim, the sound of rejoicing, the sound of the chasen and kala. Kol mitzalos chasanim mechupasam, the rejoicing of the chasanim from their chuppah, unarim mishtei neginasam, and the youths from their celebration and the music. Baruch Hashem Mesameach Chasan Im HaKala. So we thank Hashem for gladdening the Chasan with the Kala. So Rashi here notes that this bracha is actually for the success of Klal Yisrael. It's not really about the joy of the Chasan and Kala. It's about the joy of the Jewish people as a whole who are going to see this this celebration. That's the idea. Now, did you notice the difference between the ending of the previous bracha and the ending of this one? Good. Right. The previous one was Mismeach Chasan Vichala. Hashem gladdens the Chasan and the Kala. Then this one ends Mismeach Chasan Im HaKala. He gladdens the Chasan with the Kala. So Rashi explains that the previous one is about the separate success of the Chasan and the Kala. Whereas this one is about the joy of the marriage together. That's the way that Rashi resolves the differences in language. One other note, since we're here on this bracha, and it's a beautiful idea, which I believe I heard from Rav Rivlin, the Mashkiach Ruchani in Keren B'Yavne, many years ago. He noted that in the bracha we talk about Ahava and Achva, right? Ahava is love, Achva is brotherhood. So he said, why do you need both here? What's the difference between Ahava and Achva? What's the difference between love and brotherhood? Sorry? Say that again, Henry?
You can have Achva without love.
Or to put it as he put it, the Achva is what you're stuck with. Achva, you don't have a choice. It's the way it is. Whereas Ahava, love, is your choice. It's a decision that you make. So Rav Rivlin argued that the marriage is truly Ahava. It's really arranged. Ahava, it's already set who it's going to be. However, Hashem decided to make it look like Ahava. To make it look like you made the decision. Because if Hashem told you, this is the person you're going to marry, so you'd have all sorts of complaints. This way, it's your decision, so you're less likely to complain. Yes, I know, your mileage may vary, I get it. Nonetheless, that was his very nice idea on Ahava and Achva. Okay. Yes, Chuck.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I understand one of the translations you did. It appears to me that it is a groom who has to be happy with his wife. It's not they are happy with one another. Did I mishear you that you translated that they are happy with one another?
So I read it the way Rashi does, who says that it's their happiness with one another. So I'll blame Rashi here. I'll show it to you in the Rashi itself.
Because just reading the comments on Art's role, who goes out of his way to say that Rashi says the opposite.
Okay.
I'm glad to see that Art's role is incorrect.
So here, I'll show it to you. He says this on the Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. You see where I'm pointing? Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. Uba'acharona, the last bracha, is Mismeach Chasan Im HaKala, right? Lefisha Simchas Bracha HaRishona, Lo B'Simchas Chatuna Onu Omrim. He says the first one, the previous bracha, is not about the joy of the wedding. Sherei Tefila Hishem Ispalin Umuvarchin. It's a prayer that we are making, and it's a bracha. Shu Smechem Ba'atzlacha Kol Yimeihem, for them to succeed all of their lives. And he goes on to say, "Lefichach ein lachdom b'mismeach chasan im hakala demashma ish biishto." He says, "So it's not that bracha is not chasan with the kala, which would sound like the husband with his wife, but rather ela baruch Hashem mismeach es shnehem leolam. It's that God gives them each joy forever, besipuk mizonos v'chol tuv, giving them food and giving them all sorts of benefit." That's the previous bracha. It's about their individual happiness. Uva'acharona, and then the latter bracha, Shevach shemishabeach laKadosh Baruch Hu, praise that we give to God. Shebarach asunas dibuk ish beisha, that He created the marriage of one sticking to the other. Al yedei simcha v'chedva. Lefichach yesh lachto misameach chasen im akala. So we end glad in the chasen with the kala. Shulashon simchas ish beisha, the joy of the man in the woman. I suppose you could make the argument the way they read it, that it's the man being happy about her, but I see it as the contrast being the previous one was them as individuals, and this one is them together. I understand how they could read it differently.
But it actually makes sense that way. If they're not happy at the beginning, they're not going to be happy at the end.
Right, that's true. Chuck was pointing to the fact that the language the art scroll uses, it sounds like, seems to be more about his joy altogether and not so much about hers.
The way they say it, it would be out of place in this blessing to speak of gladdening the bride with the groom, for the joy referred to is that which comes from success in life, not the joy attained from one another. The last blessing, on the other hand, praises God for creating the special husband and wife through happiness and joy. The fitting conclusion is therefore who gladdens the groom with the bride, referring to the joy a man has with his wife.
I don't think their language is specific. I think their only point that they're trying to make is the one that Rashi makes about the first being about them separately and the second one being about them together. I think that's all they're really going for, but I could be wrong. Okay. So the Gemara now notes a dispute regarding the bracha of Yotzer Ha'adam, which leads to a fun discussion about the creation of Chava. So, let me see, there it is. We are up to Levi, is the word. It's the last word on the line. You see where I'm pointing. Levi ikla lebei Rebbe, behilulei de Rabbi Shimon Bray. When Rabbi Shimon, son of Rebbe, got married, so the Chacham Levi went to the party, and Baruch Chamesh, he only made 5 brachos, meaning he skipped Yotzer Ha'adam. Rav Asi ikla lebe Rav Ashi behilulei de Marbarei. When Rav Ashi married off his son Marbarei de Rav Ashi, Rav Asi went to the wedding. He made the brachos and Baruch Shis. He made 6 brachos, meaning he said Yotzer Ha'adam. So the question now is, why are some Amoraim saying Yotzer Ha'adam and some Amoraim are skipping Yotzer Ha'adam? So the Gemara is going to explain it and use it as a means of attacking a problem in the beginning of Bereishis. It's a classic problem. Tell me something. Who was created first, Adam or Chava? Adam, people assume. Is that really true?
Both of them at the same time.
What do you mean?
Because there were one was from the back and one was in the front.
So we'll get to that idea, but more basic than that. If I were to look in the Psukim in Perek Aleph in Bereishis, who would I see that Hashem created on day 6?
Adam.
No. Nope.
Why?
Because it's not what it says. The Smicha program should start from Bereishis. It says Zachar Unikeva Bara Osam. Hashem created them male and female. That's what it says. Here. That's not in that perek. That's not in that perek. That's in perek Beis. Here, let's
God created one entity that was both male and female.
If I look at Bereishis number 1, as they say, and I look at the creation of human beings, Vayivro Elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem Elokim bara oso, zachar unikeva bara osam, plural. Hashem created them male and female. Sorry? So that's a problem. It's absolutely a problem, but zachar unikeva bara osam sounds like Hashem created male and female. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that in Perek Beis we're going to get the story about creating Adam and then creating Chava off of Adam. But that's what our Gemara is going to wrestle with here. Now,
Nachmanides says
Hang on. Nachmanides is just pulling from our Gemara, so it's okay. Oh, it's not just our Gemara, it's also a Gemara at the end of Brachos.
So it's one entity that was both male and female because God had created everything else to procreate.
So, recognizing that it is already 8:09, I'm going to give you one way to read this Gemara, although there are actually three different ways that I've seen. There's a Rashi view, / the Ritva, there's a Rashba view, there's a Maharsha explaining Rashi a little bit differently, but let's read the Gemara straight with Rashi, and then maybe we can worry about it the rest of it next week, and let's just get something from the, actually not next week, as I noted in the beginning, not everybody was here in the beginning, there's no shiur next week because I have a special shiur next Sunday night, which I will make sure to email you about as well. But let's see the Gemara. One of them makes Yotzer HaAdam, the other one does not. Lema beha kamiflagi. Let's say that this is the machlokes between them. Demar savar chada yitzira havoi. I'm going with Rashi's read. Maybe the debate is that one of them believes that there was only one act of creation. Umar savar shte yitziros havoi. And the other one said, no, there were two acts of creation. In other words, one of them is saying Chava was initially fully formed. Zachar unikeva bara osam. Hashem created Adam and Chava on day one. And the other one said, no, look at Perek Beis. It says that Chava was an appendage on Adam, and then she was separated out and formed out later on. Is that the machlokes? And so therefore there's a debate whether you need a separate bracha of Yotzer HaAdam, right, suggesting there were two creations, or whether it's enough that you already have Asher Yatzaras Adam B'Tzalmo. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, that's not the debate. Dekulei Alma Chada Yetzira Havoi. Everybody agrees there was only one creation. Mar Savar Basar Machshava Azlinan, Umar Savar Basar Maisa Azlinan. One view is that we follow what Hashem planned initially, and the other one says we follow what Hashem actually did. What do you mean? Ki hada Rav Yehuda, like the following of Rav Yehuda or Rabbi Avahu in some editions, Rami, he challenged based on these psukim we've just noticed. Ksiv vayivra Elokim es Adam b'tzalmo. The pasuk says Hashem created Adam in his image. The b'tzalmo kim bara osa uchsiv zach b'tzalmo kim bara osa zachar unikeva bara osam uchsiv zachar unikeva biraam, and it says he created them male and female. Haketzad, how can that be? I have a whole story in Perek Beis. Betchila ala b'machshava livros shnayim ulubasof nivra echad. In the beginning, Hashem said he was going to create them as two, and then in the end, he created them only as one. So the idea here in the Gemara is that initially Hashem said, I am going to create Adam and Chava as two separate entities, and then he said, nah, I'm going to put them together. And that's what he actually did until he separated off Adam and Chava. So the view that says to make the bracha of Yotzer HaAdam is saying that we follow what Hashem actually did, which is that he created twice. Whereas the view that says don't say Yotzer HaAdam says we go with what Hashem planned. And Hashem had initially planned to make Adam and Chava separately. That's the machlokas in the Gemara as read in one way. There's Rashi with the Ritva, there's the Rashba, there's the Maharsha, different ways that you can read the Gemara. But just to end off, I will note one thing. The Maharsha asks a question. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Hashem wanted to create it one way and then changed his mind? Why? What went wrong? Sorry? So actually, it's funny that you say it, because one of the Rishonim on this Gemara, when it talks about the one creation, two creations, actually gives the Lilith answer and says there were two creations of Chava because the first one ran away. So Lilith shows up in the Rishonim on this Gemara. I wasn't going to mention it, but Chuck, you forced my hand. But the Maharsha says that this is the idea. Hashem wanted to create Adam and Chava separately. But Hashem realized that we fight a lot, we human beings. And so he said, let me try to minimize the fighting by creating them as a single unit first. They'll see themselves as one entity. And maybe that will help cut down on the disagreements. It fits with other midrashim, which talk about Hashem wanting to create the world with midas hadin, with justice, but realizing we can't tolerate that. The world will be destroyed. And so he said, fine, I'll create it with chesed instead. So with rachamim instead. So too here, Hashem wanted to create the world with Adam and Chava as separate entities. Then he thought better of it and said, let them start out together and maybe that'll increase the odds that they'll be peaceful. So that's why Hashem changed. All right, maybe we'll come back to that next week. Maybe we'll just go further next week. We'll see. But those are the Sheva Brachos that are made under the Chuppah. Again, next week, I keep on saying next week as though there was a next week. Next week is going to be a different shear, God willing. It's actually